The following is a lecture given by His Grace Adesham Prabhu, recorded on 17th August 2010 in BJ Voice.
Chakshuram ీకైతన్నపరావేష్టం స్థాపితం వేద భూతలే స్వయం రూపకరా మహ్యం దాతి సపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురో శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాంబితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాంబికాంశ నమః ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రసారిణీ నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణి నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే నామ్నే గౌరకృషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే భూపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగే శ్రీరాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే స్పీకర్ అంబికా స్పీకర్ So I'm doing the series on teachings of Queen Kunti. So we'll continue the series of one of the verses. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.25. Please repeat after me.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం నష్టప్రాయేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికి కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. విపదః సంతు తాశ్వత్ తత్ర తత్ర జగద్గురు భవతో దర్శనం యత్ స్యాత్ ఆపునర్భవ దర్శనం. ఐ విష్ దట్ ఆల్ దీస్ కెలామిటీస్ వుడ్ హ్యాపన్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ సో so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. This is spoken by Kunti Maharani. So in the previous verse, Kunti Maharani was giving a list of the dangers she and her children faced in their life. So yesterday I was speaking on Mahabharata, on each of these dangers elaborately, which I will not speak today, but I will just name those calamities what she mentioned. Vishanahagne purushada darshanat asat sabhaya vanavasa krichratah vidhem vidheneka maharatastrato brahmastratashchasma hare virakshitah. She says, Visha means poison to cake was fed to my son Bhima. But Krishna, you came and saved him. How Bhima was saved is a miracle. After eating the poison food, personally, apparently lovingly fed by Duryodhana into the mouth of Bhima, with the intention of killing Bhima. How Bhima went underwater and bitten by the snakes, the poison got cancelled. He drank the elixir, which increases one's vitality and strength by 10,000 elephantine amount of times. So all this was done, and then Bhima came out of the waters with renewed vigor. And then he reported to Pandavas and Kunti how he was saved, and how the Pandavas were sent by Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, at least if Duryodhana is envious, it is understandable, but Dhritarashtra is a father. How can a father be envious of children? But Dhritarashtra was so envious that he harbored so much malice on the Pandavas that he wanted to see them destroyed completely. So he sent Pandava children, Pandavas, to Varnavat, Lakshagraha, where he was closing his eyes to Duryodhana's atrocities of Duryodhana wanting to burn down the Pandavas. Secretly, Dhritarashtra prayed for the destruction of Pandavas. Simply due to envy. Simply envious. So, Vishan Mahagne, she is saying, in that Mahagni of Varnavat Lakshagra, my sons and myself, we were supposed to be burnt alive, roasted or burnt alive. And then you made arrangement for us to be saved from that danger also, she is saying. Vidura arranged for some underground tunnel to be made. We were saved. And then she is saying, Purushada Darshanat. Purushada means a cannibal. When we were in the forest, we had to face the cannibals, Rakshasas. We would have been eaten alive by the Pandavas, but you saved us from the Rakshasas also. Asat Sabhaya Manamasakrit. Asat Sabha means the Sabha of Duryodhana. Such a shameless kings like Karna, Duryodhana, Dushasana. See the names only you can see. Duryodhana's original name was Suryodhana when he was born. So later on by his activities he was given a special name, like you get Diksha, you know. After Diksha you get new name. So after his bad activities he got the name Duryodhana. Dushasana means what? One who does Shasana in a bad way. Dushasana. So Dushasana, Duryodhana, all these people. So that is called Asat Sabha. Why? You can never see in any learned Sabha that a woman will be disturbed in the public. My daughter-in-law Draupadi, she was in such great danger. She was mistreated. She was an abala, helpless woman, and nobody could protect her. But she took shelter of you and you gave her an unlimited sari and protected her. In this way she is telling many things. Vishan Mahagane Purushada Darshana Asat Sabaya Vanavasa Pritcharataha means in the forest so many difficulties we underwent. I was just thinking, you know, we went for a camp to this Dugad farm, you know, all around the thick forest, nice trees. We all like greenery very much, especially modern man likes to be in the middle of green, you know, postmodern people. But sometimes you have a program under a tree in the evening time, you will come to see so many species and creatures which you have never seen before. Different types of, you know, crickets and flies and, you know, bugs, different, some of them flying, some of them crawling. We don't know how the pandas lived in the forest, so many years, 13 years. Sometimes when you hear Ramayana and Mahabharata and all, it's very interesting to hear. But for ourselves to even live in a simple forest, nowadays most of the forests don't have ferocious animals like lions and tigers and all, because the human beings have dominated and occupied them. But they were living in such vanavasa kricharata. Kricharata means difficulties. Suddenly some rakshasa will come, some cannibal will come, animals. So, mride neka maharata. Not only that, after all these things were finished, now the Pandavas start. Last 1 year we will spend incognito in Virata Desh. Once we are not detected by the Kauravas, as they promised us, they will give us a kingdom back. But then, when they came back, they were told, you will not get your kingdom back. What is because of your kingdom? You will not even get a single village. Then what? Then Krishna went as a peace messenger. Then the Kurukshetra battle ensued subsequently. So in the Kurukshetra battle, it is said, Prabhupada writes in one of his lectures, Prabhupada says, the Maharathis in the battle, like Bhishma, Pitama, and Drona and all, they were very, very powerful. Bhishma, Pitama, Prabhupada says, was equivalent to 25,000 Arjunas, Prabhupada says. They were so powerful. In one of his lectures he says, they were so extremely powerful. Arjuna himself was very powerful. He was famous for his archery, Gandiva Bhavan. And how can Arjuna win over the hand of such people? So Parikshit Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find a verse where he is saying the Kaurava Sena, he is calling it as Kaurava Sanya Sagaram, he says. Kaurava Sanya Sagaram is a ocean of big Maharathis and soldiers. And Pandavas are not so powerful in that sense. Pandavas are seven Akshinis, and seven Akshinis, how they got? Because they also had some dharmic kings. And they collected some support. And Kauravas had 11 Akshavanis. But although they had 11 Akshavanis, they had people like Bhishma, Drona, Karna, who are all world-renowned, practically indefeatable warriors. So Parikshit is asking how my forefathers like Arjuna and Bhima could win over them. So they are like Timingalas, and my forefathers are like small fishes. Timingalas always devour small fishes. So how we could win? He says it's only because of Krishna only. Krishna was with your forefathers, constantly guiding them. So, Mridaya Mridaya means again and again. Mridaya Mridaya Neka, Aneka Maharata Astrato. And now at last the battle is coming to an end. And Drauni, who is Drauni? Drauni means son of Drona. Who is it? Ashwatthamaya. Drauni Ashtratas Chasma Hare Virakshita. Now, this fellow is such a cunning fellow, he could not win the battle against the Pandavas. Then one cannot do by fair means, one does by foul means. Now he is sending a Brahmastra to kill the posthumous child, Parikshit, the last child. Shishu, small, tender child in the womb of the mother Uttara. And this fellow is trying to kill him by sending the Brahmastra towards the womb. And then again Uttarakkama goes running to Krishna, and Krishna protects her. So Kunti is completely overwhelmed. Krishna, how many dangers came in our lives? One after another. And every time you were there for us. Let us read one small sentence what Prabhupada is saying. This is also from the previous, that was dangerous encounters, Prabhupada says. So I'll just read a few sentences, then we'll proceed to the next verse. And then Prabhupada saying, we may have many enemies who may be very powerful fighters, but if we remain under the protection of Krishna, no one can do us any harm. Raki Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rakike. He whom Krishna protects, no one can kill. But if Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can give him protection. Just like that famous ship, Titanic. They gave a title. What title they gave Titanic? The ship that even God cannot even sink, they gave. Because they wrote it in big letters, God probably wanted to play with them. So that ship sank with about 1800 millionaires who all wanted to be a part of that maiden voyage. Actually many times, you want to tell the other people in the world, I was the first to want to do this, isn't it? People have it as well. So the ship is going for the first time in the ocean, so you can say that I was there in Titanic. I was there in the first trip, you can say. But then those who went to the first trip, that was the last trip also. That was the first and last trip. And the ship sank. So if Krishna decides to sink a ship, nobody can save a ship. In fact, if you ask the marine students, they will tell you, no such big ship goes just like that in the ocean, because ahead of that ship they have 3 or 4 small boats which go to check whether any glaciers are there. They check it always. Because if glaciers are there, either they have to melt it or they have to cut it or they have to take a different route. So despite all arrangements, you see, if an accident has to happen, it will happen. If Krishna wants to kill someone, no one can give him protection. Yes. For example, suppose, Papa is saying, a couple of examples is giving. Suppose a very rich man is suffering from disease. He may have a first class doctor, medicine and hospital available for him, but still he may die. This means that Krishna is here. This man must die at this time. And then Prabhupada saying, so-called protective methods we have devised will be useless if Krishna does not desire us to live. The demon Ravana was very powerful, but when Krishna in the form of Ramachandra desired to kill him, no one could protect him. Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva and was praying to Lord Shiva, please come save me from this danger. But Lord Shiva did not come. Then Parvati, Lord Shiva's wife, asked Lord Shiva, what is this? He is such a great devotee and has served you so much. And now he is in danger and is asking your help. Why are you not going to help him? Then Lord Shiva replied, my dear Parvati, what shall I do? I cannot give him protection. It's not possible. Why shall I go? Therefore, if God wants to kill someone, no one can give him protection. And if God wants to protect someone, no one can kill him. So this example Prabhupada gives here of Lord Shiva, not able to protect Ravana. Although Lord Shiva and Parvati are going through the Akash Marg and watching the battle in Lanka, going on between Lord Ram and Ravana. So somebody may say, how can somebody let down his devotee? His own devotee, Shiva's devotee, and Shiva is just closing his eyes and allowing him to be killed. But that teaches one very important lesson. When Supreme Lord plans to punish somebody or kill somebody, nobody will be able to interfere. Like you see Durvasamani, isn't it? He went to Indra, he went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, at last he went to Vishnu. Of course Vishnu said, I am powerless, I am under the control of my devotees. But actually Vishnu has the power. But why did Vishnu say, I am powerless, I cannot save you? Anybody knows? He did not actually have the power. Why he said like that? Yeah? Yes? Vishnu wanted to show how powerful are his devotees, that he is controlled by his devotees. If he wanted to save Dhruvasa, he would have easily saved. Actually, ultimately, he only saved. Through the Sudarshan Chakra, he only saved the life of Dhruvasa. But he wanted to establish his love for his devotees. So, there is a pastime of Banasura fighting with Krishna. You'll find like Shiva also coming and fighting. And there is a fight between Shivajwara and Narayanajwara in that. So Shivajwara is extremely hot. It burns down everything. Narayanajwara is extremely cold. It completely swallows all the heat. Like that. You can ask the doctors, they will tell you whether a patient will survive in extreme heat or extreme cold. Any doctors here? Yes, you know that? No, that is true, but out of the two, extreme cold kills a person faster than extreme heat. You'll see that. Out of the two, I read it, I have to find out the source where I got it. So Narayana Jwara swallowed the Shiva Jwara. Swallowed means defeated the Shiva Jwara. After that, Shiva Jwara in the form of Astra, he started shivering, although he supposed to be very hot arrow. He started shivering and offering obeisances to Krishna, and he surrendered like that. Of course, we may wonder, or we may even get bewildered, oh, Shiva is supporting Banasura and Krishna is on the other side. Shiva is defeated and his Shiva Jwara is defeated. Is it an insult to Shiva and all that one may think? Actually, Lord Shiva is also a great devotee of Krishna. How will he fight against Krishna? Whenever Shiva is fighting on the opposite side, then one can understand, something special must be happening. He is trying to glorify Krishna as the Lord. He is trying to present the supremacy of Krishna to the world, because there are always some people in the world who will say that if you say Ganesh is not supreme or Kartika is not supreme, I can accept. But if you say Shiva is not supreme, I cannot accept. Some people argue like that. Then okay, Shiva says, I'll perform this pastime. So understand, Krishna is supreme. So he's establishing Krishna's supremacy by enacting such a leela. That is why shastras are very deep. Unless we understand the shastra properly, we cannot understand Krishna. So, Lord Shiva purposefully takes part in this pastime. Like you all know, this Mohini Murthy. Now Shiva got bewildered by Mohini Murthy, and Mohini Murthy is running and Shiva is chasing. And he appeared, and Lord Shiva wants to show the world. Krishna is so great that when he becomes a woman, beautiful woman, his beauty is greater than that of Lakshmi also. And nobody can stand in front of that beauty. So then Shiva proves the supremacy of Krishna's Maya, Maya Shakti, like that. So Shiva is undoubtedly a very great devotee. He is a pure devotee. He is never disturbed even by Maya. But he runs after Mohini Murthy to show the world of Krishna's Maya. Similarly, Shiva is defeated by Krishna in the battle with Banasura to establish Krishna's supremacy. Similarly, we find Ravana is being defeated by Ram, and Shiva is not helping him, by which Shiva wants to show a very important lesson to the world. Even if you take shelter of any of the demigods and get any amount of powers from them, when Lord comes to kill you, then you cannot be saved. Now why should Lord kill the demigod worshippers? Is Lord having any envy? That hey, you didn't worship me, you worshipped my demigod, that's why I'm going to kill you. Lord has no such envy. Actually, the people who go to demigods are generally asuras, who want to get some benefits in an illegal way. Like you see, Ravana's devotion to Shiva is extolled in Ramayana, that he was playing a veena for Shiva. When he was singing from his heart with so much devotion, and as he was playing Sarigama Padanesa, it went higher and higher and higher and higher pitch. Lord Shiva manifested suddenly, along with his Trishul and Damaru. And he was playing the Damaru. Lord Shiva started dancing like Nataraj, You've seen Nataraj? So Lord Shiva started dancing, and Ravana opened his eyes and saw Lord Shiva dancing happily. Lord Shiva became ecstatic in his kirtan. And then Ravana sang even more sweetly, even more beautifully. At one point of time, suddenly, Lord Shiva, the string of the veena got broken. And it was going to very high pitch. You know, the veena, then it goes very high pitch. When it broke, at that time Ravana could not stop his ecstasy. It is said that he broke open his body and took out some veins and started playing. Like that it is said. I don't know what kind of veins he had that he could play veena on that. Shiva became very, very pleased with him. He was one of the most dear devotees of Shiva. And then he continued the kirtan without stopping, he said. So that was Ravana. But then when he did the wrong things, like sometimes in a family you will see that your uncle is a very wealthy man, he's a millionaire, he has been a politician, he very much loves his nephew, say his sister's son or somebody like that. So he wants to see his sister's son that he becomes an engineer. He tells his sister's son, you just finish his engineering, and you do this IAS, I'll make you a collector. Some plan, he has a great plan for him. But then suddenly he finds this boy, and as he's growing up and he goes to college, he gets into some wrong association with some woman, and he gets degraded. He fails in all his subjects. He has eloped with a woman, and that too, parents are crying that you have gone away with a woman from another caste. You are marrying, intercaste marriage you are doing, and you are running away from home. He usurps or he does such a big crime that he is behind the bars. Now the uncle is thinking, how to get this fellow out. But if this boy has got into some murder case or something like that, even uncle is not able to get him. You understand, no? Because this fellow is under the government. And uncle, despite all his power, is not able to do anything. So he is just watching helplessly. That's what happens to demigods. Demigods give boons and benedictions, but then when their followers get into some very great blunder, then they are not able to save them. Like, you see, what was the blunder Ravana got into? Trying to kidnap Sita and try to enjoy her. Sita is Lakshmi. She is the goddess of fortune. So Shiva is telling Parvati, oh, how can I save this fellow? He has got into a wrong track. Just like, a teacher may love a student very much. He is the best student I like in my class very much, He is always in the first three ranks and all that. But then the examination is copying. And he is keeping many, many chits in between the fingers. The professor is not there taking out and writing, opening, writing at a spot, and is debarred for 2 years or 3 years. And the teacher is helpless. Teacher cannot do anything because he has got into such a thing. That is why here is saying that Shiva could not save Ravana. So when Lord Ram decided to kill Ravana, Shiva could not save. But then Prabhupada is saying, but when Krishna wants to save somebody, he can save. Then he's saying, Krishna, you are so kind to us that you saved us from many great dangers. Without you, there was no hope. Raja Kunti is saying, many great misfortunes befell the Pandavas, but in all circumstances they simply depended on Krishna, who always saved them. Now comes a very important point. Now if Krishna wants to save somebody, is there anybody above Krishna who can check it? Is there anybody? Just now I told you, generally the demons go to demigods because of which, they get into atrocious activities. And ultimately they are killed by Vishnu, Krishna, Ram, like that. But you can give examples of somebody who is a demon, who took shelter of Krishna, but he was saved. Can you give examples? Who are the demons? Jagannamada is saying that very recent in the Kali Yuga. Maya Danava. Any other demon? was protected by Krishna. Besides Mayadana, because Mayadana took shelter of Krishna and Arjuna. He was protected, yeah? You see? Dhritarasura became Mahabhagavad devotee. Although he was counted amongst demons. That way Prahalad, Vibhishan, all of them. One thing is, if they take shelter of Krishna, they will not do demoniac activities. They give up their demoniac nature also. Like Mayadana, is a demon, he had great powers, but used in Krishna's service. In devotee service, used. And they become protected, yeah. Is there an example of any devotee of Krishna who did some big blunder, but still they were not punished, they were saved? You understand? Somebody got into some blunder. They did some blunder, but they were saved. Yeah. Who? He's saying Ajamila. He's saying, yeah, Ajamila is devotee of Narayana. He got into a big blunder. You know, if he was some demigod's follower, probably he must have been punished by Yamadutas, I think. Taken to Yamaloka, a solid punishment he would have got. But because he happened to be Narayana's devotee, he was forgiven. And now somebody can say, is it not partiality that, you know, demigod's followers, if they do wrong, they are thoroughly punished, up to the point of even being killed also. Whereas somebody is Narayana's devotee, Krishna's devotee, Ram's devotee, you know, they can do a big blunder and, you know, they can walk out scot-free without any punishment. Yeah? Anybody can give answer to this question? You understand my question? Yes? What is the answer? Anyone else? We have answered any questions. Yes?
Like, for a father or mother, they are two children, one is obedient and one is not obedient. If they are obedient, so they are very loving to the father. Whenever sometimes they make a mistake, so they literally fall. So they are constantly disobeying his parents, so they punish him.
Right. Very good. You are coming very close to the answer I was looking for. Prabhupada says a king may punish a criminal through the policeman. Or a king may beat his son, you know, his own son, prince, for doing some mistake. Is it the same? There's a big difference. Like when the police whips the criminal, the punishment is very severe. When the king slaps his son, naturally he has his own son who is very loving. And he may punish him, not like the way police punishes a thief or something like that. So when Krishna punishes the living entities, you know, through the Yamaraj and Yamadutas or through Maya Devi, the punishments appear quite severe. Whereas when one becomes Krishna's devotee, it's not that Krishna doesn't punish them. It's not that they can escape. Sometimes Krishna punishes his devotees, even up to the point of Bhaumasura, for example. Bhaumasura is who? Like a Balaji's chest, you say Sridevi Bhudevi, isn't it? So Bhudevi, Bhumata, she is also a consort of the Lord. When Varaha, they lifted the Bhumi from the Garbhuda portion and placed it in the exact spot. So at that time, some droplets of water from the Varahadev's body fell on earth. So earth has a personified deity called as Bhudevi, Bhumata we call her. And she is also Lakshmi. She also a consort of the Lord. So she gave birth to whom? Bhaumasura, who is also called as Prakasura, not Prakasura. His name is Narakasura. He is called as Narakasura. Narakasura or Bhaumasura. So this Bhaumasura went on to become a big demon. Although he was considered as Lord's son. So ultimately who killed Bhaumasura? Krishna only killed. Can a father kill his own son? Why Krishna killed Bhaumasura? If anybody stops Krishna's program for the ultimate welfare of the living entities, to go back home, back to Godhead, then Krishna will kill them. Actually, women, Shastra says, should never be punished or killed. Children and women, they should not be punished or killed. But both the people, Ram and Krishna, they killed women. First demon they killed. Putana and Tadaka. They were killed by Krishna and Ram. Then Lord is telling in scripture, we should not even punish a woman or beat a woman. But Lord is killing only. How can Lord kill? The very first demon they killed. Because Even if it is a woman, if she is coming in the way of the Brahminical culture, for the welfare of the living, and it is to go back home, back to Godhead, because they are affecting the deliverance of the living beings, then Lord kills them. Like I was reading an Arthashastra of Chanakya. Chanakya says that, based on the Vedas, he says, if a woman in the Raj Sabha is doing some stealing regularly, she has stolen a lot of money and gold, silver and all, there's a punishment for her. They will cut the finger. One or two fingers they will cut off, even for a woman. Of course, cutting finger doesn't kill her, but they cut the finger, because otherwise, you know, woman will think, okay, Shastra said there is no punishment for us, and all the men will use women to do stealing and everything, isn't it? So they have to have some punishment also. Shastra gives some punishment. So the idea is, although Bhaumasura was the son of the Lord, but he went on to become an asura, and he created such havoc for all the living beings. And then he was killed by the Lord. Lord generally kill. If somebody is inhibiting the spiritual progress of the living entities, it's violence. So Lord killed. But if a devotee has committed a blunder, but is very sincerely repentant, then the Lord forgives the devotee. And he can help the devotee to escape the punishment. Even though the devotee may be gliding towards hell. For example, Prabhupada says the president of a country can give amnesty. You know that? Amnesty means if somebody is a murderer put in the jail for death sentence, the only person he can release him, do you know who it is? The president of India. Nobody else. How can a murderer be saved? But a murderer is relieved when he writes a letter to the president. So, somehow the president takes pity on him and says, okay, relieve this fellow. Then he can be relieved. So Krishna is like that. You know, you put a petition not to Indra, Chandra, or not to even Maya Devi, not to even Brahma or Shiva. You put a direct petition to Krishna, who is beyond his material world, and he can deliver you from this world. Even though we may be awaiting a very severe punishment in the future for our wrongdoing. If Krishna decides to save us, Ajamila is one example, he said, yeah, correct. Ajamila, all the Amrutas were preparing their swords and everything, all their weapons for solidly punishing Ajamila. And then Narayana's Vishnudutas came and they took him away. Of course, he was not just like that delivered. He was given a second chance to practice devotional service and paid a price, and then he was taken. But he was saved from a very great danger. Savaimana Krishna. Savaimana Krishna Padaravindaya. No. Nideshitam yad gunaragi yairiha napeyamam pashabritascha tadbadha svapne pipashyanti nidhichirna nishkrita. This verse says, anyone who fixes their mind and heart in chanting the holy names of Krishna, they are wearing a tulasi mala, kanti mala in their neck, and wearing the symbols of tilaka in 12 parts of their body, which is actually like a protective kavacha, protector in their body. For such people, he says, nate yamam pasha pratasya, but svapne api pashyanti, he says, even svapna may be yamudutna yate. Even in svapna, yamudutas will not come near you. From a distance, they will see this fellow is wearing the Urdha Pundra, the chinha of tilaka, in his body, the kavacha. Immediately they will know this person is property of Vishnu. And Yamaraj tells Yamadutas, you take avotan and run away when you see such devotees, because they are all lovers of Vishnu or Krishna. So, this is given in the scriptures. Devotees are protected by Vishnu directly, like that. Even in Swapana, Yamadutas don't come. What to speak of directly coming and catching? So, Ajamila was protected like that. Like sometimes, ago in our temple, two boys and two girls came in a bike, and they were standing at 1:30 outside our bookstall, and I asked them, if you want something, I will arrange to call the man to open the shop for you. I asked, what do you want? You know, they were saying, we want this kanti mala, you know. Then I spoke to them about next 10 minutes about four regulative principles, you know. And then they heard, and I looked at their face, it was not very happy, you know. that they were appearing little bewildered when they heard that, for the principles. And then I made them wait, and then I went to behind the temple to call the devotee. By the time the devotee came to open the stall, they had absconded, gone away. Because I told them, our man in the stall will check with you, who are you and are you following the four principles and everything, only then they will give you. So by the time our man came, they had run away. Because people want to wear Tulsimala, but they don't want to follow principles. So we follow the regulated principles and we wear Kantimala, Tilak and everything, then we are protected. Bhagavatam gives assurance. So, of course, one more difference is, if a demigod worshipper is protected, that protection has no meaning only. Why? Because the demigod worshippers want to do atrocious activities. For example, Bhasmasura. You know, he was running behind Shiva for what? For burning down Shiva and enjoying Parvati. Now, he was killed. You know, he was killed by Vishnu by exploding his head, by making... Now, in case Vishnu says, I forgive you, is he going to become a better person? No. He will say, okay, this time somehow Parvati escaped, I will look for another occasion, I can enjoy her. He will be like that. Because the demigod worshippers have diseases which are very dangerous diseases. And they are not willing to pay the price to get purified. They are not, they are like adamant children who just want things at any cost. They'll find. That's why they're called rakshasas. They want to go in the wrong direction, and they want to go in the wrong direction adamantly. Just like you find many boys in the college, you know, you tell them good things, they'll never want to do it. They'll never come for a program, they'll never learn good things. They just want, the only solution for them is, unless they are destroyed, they will not change. So that is why demigod worshippers are. And Vishnu worshippers, if there are two categories. If it is Bhaumasura type, Lord kills them. If it is a reformable type, Lord reforms them and gives them a chance. Isn't it? There was one fellow called as Pururava. And he performed, of course he got Urvashi. And then by some penance he got. And then Urvashi later on went back to heaven. He got thoroughly frustrated. When he again performed the yajna, keeping samhita and everything, a big yajna performed and Lord Vishnu appeared. Now, he saw Lord Vishnu, but then Vishnu asked, what do you want? He said, I want Urvashi, he said. What a fool he was. So Dromaraj saw Vishnu, and why did Dromaraj ask? He said, my dear Lord, I came to the forest for broken pieces of glass, I got a diamond like you, now I didn't want anything, he said. This fellow is seeing Vishnu and he is saying, I want Urvashi. And Vishnu was surprised, are you? This fellow considers Urvashi to be better than me also. Tadastu. And he gave him, take it. But Lord Vishnu gave him Urvashi so that this fellow will be thoroughly frustrated. So you will read in the ninth canto and later on 11th you will read. And then everyone will be wondering, hey, he asked Urvashi and he got her also. That means, you know, the Shastra will become wrong. That middle enjoyment is superior to spiritual enjoyment, you may think. But then later on it comes. He got thoroughly frustrated after getting Urvashi. How, that's another story which comes later. That Urvashi remains with him for some time and then she disappears. And then he is going, searching for her all around the world. And one place Urvashi is sitting with four or five boys, for other men kings. And she is sitting in the middle of them joking. And then this fellow is seeing and he gets frustrated. Alas, she left me and she is with other people. In front of them he goes and tells her shamelessly, I am your surrendered soul, please come with me and all that. She is, you know, giving him preaching, you foolish Purudava, you don't know, women are like jackal. You know, they are fond of many boyfriends. They would like to spend time with different people to usurp their pockets. That's what women like. And how can you put faith in a person like me? And she said, I don't belong to you. I belong to heaven. Because you forced me to be with you, I'll only, because on the order of Lord Vishnu, I'll be with you, but only one day in a year. That's all. All other times I'll be in my own place. She said, get out of here, you shameless fool. She said, and this fellow lost all shame. And once in a year she used to come. Urvashi used to come. And whole year, 364 days he'll be waiting. When will that day come? When will that day be mine? When Urvashi will be with me? And that one day will pass so fast. You see, in sense gratification, years pass very fast. You know that? Yeah. And one day will pass very fast and then she would immediately go back. And you'll be screaming and yelling, hey, please don't go away, don't go away. Yeah. And in this way he got, Lord Vishnu gave him chance to get thoroughly frustrated. And then he came back to his senses. That sense gratification can never give me happiness. Yeah. Actually some boys in your college also will find, you call them for the program, they won't come. After their girlfriends ditch them and go away, they'll come. They'll say, is there any Mahamantra or anything is available and I want to become, you know, free from my tension. You'll see that, huh? Yeah. Some guys need that. Other guys are pious guys, they come from good families, you know. They say some bhajan is going on, some Bhagavad Gita lecture, they'll come. You know, some fellows need kick. After they get the kick, they'll come to senses. Getting the kick, yeah. So Vishnu or Krishna, they do exactly what is needed for everyone. And here in this verse, Kunti Maharani is telling, I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. See, Prabhupada is saying here, generally the distressed people, needy people, intelligent people, inquisitive people, those who perform some pious activities, they worship the Lord, or they begin to worship the Lord. And others who are thriving on misdeeds, you know, they cannot approach Krishna. So therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That is why a person will turn to Krishna, he is saying. And then Prabhupada is saying further, one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation very easily, like as if it's a hoofprint of a calf. The samsara sagar becomes like a hoofprint of a calf. Here Prabhupada is saying, the material world is certified as a dangerous place full of calamities. Certificate is given. This is a dukkalayam shashvatam. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is to be full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without a trace of calamity. The duty of a saint person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spiritual is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dream. You see? So, there are many sufferings. We say birth, old age, disease, death, and all these things we say. And also somebody dies in an accident. But Prabhupada says, all these things are like a dream, he says. Do you know why? Because soul can never be cut into pieces. Soul can never be burned. Soul can never be dried or moistened by water. Krishna says, no? Nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dahati bhavaka, he says. So, even when dangers come, is there any real danger? For example, somebody died in a plane crash. Are they really dying? No, there is no death. What happened when there is a plane crash? The dress is changed. Just like you change dress every day. Today you wear one dress, tomorrow you wear another dress. Similarly, the living entity quits the body and he accepts another body. There is no death at all. And similarly, all the dangers which come to the living entity in this world, they cannot touch the living entity at all, because living entity is pure soul, different from the body. Then who is suffering then? Because the body is always dead and the soul is always in bliss. So who is suffering? The illusion to soul is suffering. The illusion to soul thinks, I am this body. See, for example, you have two cars. So you have come to the program in a car. Both the cars are standing. Suddenly, you know, you are watching from the top. One small boy takes a big stone and is throwing on the window sheet. And then you are getting scared. Really, he is throwing glass on my car. The two cars exactly looking similar. Probably you thought this is my car, but actually yours was this car. Because they are parked down. And when the window glass breaks, immediately your heart also breaks, isn't it? You come running to catch that boy and slap him and hand him over to police or something. And then you find, fortunately, your car is the other car, not this car. Then what happens? You feel very happy. You know, you don't worry about others' cars. You don't worry about others' problems. You are worried about our own problem because you are attached to our own things. So that is the possessive mentality. Actually speaking, when you become a transcendentalist, you will know there is no difference between these two cars at all. Neither this car belongs to you, nor that car belongs to you. You become, that's the verse says, you know, that samadoshtrashma kanchana, he says. He says, gold and stone are same for a transcendentalist. He doesn't see much difference between the two. You put Prabhupada in a Rolls Royce, you put him in a Billa cart, there is no difference for him. So when you come to the platform, where is suffering for you? In that. So, this will require some spiritual death. Like Janaka Maharaj was told when he was sitting in the Bhagavatam class. Actually, Janaka Maharaj used to come every day for attending Bhagavatam, and some Vaishnavas would read Bhagavatam. So one day, when the king didn't come, one person commented that after all he is a king. King means, you know, he is stupid in management. He is all the time worrying about money, worrying about gold and silver, worrying about sorting out problems. Bhagavatam cannot wait for him. You know, you start. Like that one of the panditas, Brahmana panditas, he commented like that. And the Bhagavatam speaker, you know, recited the prayer, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then the King Janaka came running. And then he came and joined the class. Thank God I didn't miss anything. So he came and sat. So, when in the middle of the class, somebody brought the news. Oh, there is a wild fire spreading all over in the country, he said. Many houses are getting burnt down, he said. And the same Pandita who commented in the beginning, like this, he and two, three other Brahmanas, they caught their dhoti and stood up and started running away. Actually, they didn't even know, you know, whose houses are getting burnt. They thought, maybe our houses. They thought like that and they started running to sort out the fire. And then the person who told about the fire was saying, my dear king, this fire has started only behind your palace. A part of your palace building, kitchen, you know, it's burning. And then spreading to other houses, he said. Which means Janaka will be certainly concerned, right? It's a part of his palace. Some important thing should not get burned down or something. Life should not be a danger. But Janaka heard it. There is a verse in Sanskrit. I don't have it with me now. No. He said, nothing belongs to me. The palace doesn't belong to me. Horses don't belong to me. Elephants don't belong to me. Kingdom doesn't belong to me. Nothing of this world belongs to me. Everything belongs to the Lord. And he said, I don't own anything because I am not them, he said. I am different from them. I am a soul who is unaffected by fire, unaffected by water, unaffected by weapons. And he said, send the ministers and the military, and soldiers to sort out the issue. Send them, tell them that king has ordered them, go and ask them to sort out the fire. And the king said, I don't have to leave the Bhagavatam class and run for it. That will be sorted out, he said. And then he told the speaker, continue. And he went on to hear. Then everyone in the sabha understood. Now who has a real interest by hearing Bhagavatam? Isn't it? So the Brahmanas who were commenting in the beginning, although they were not sure whether it was their house burning, they ran away. You see? Because we all in this world identify too much with our body, with our relatives, with our friends. Some people get a shock. Like, you know, one man got 5 crores in lottery and immediately he got a heart attack and fell on the ground unconscious. You see, some people are like that. Huh? When they get some news, simply getting the news gives them a shock, because they think it's my money now. Huh? And if I get 5 crore, what do I do? Huh? So much madness comes. And then immediately the wife ran to the doctor and cried, "My husband is half dead, please test the pulse. Is the heartbeat still going on?" Huh? The doctor said, "You know, I can revive your husband back to life. How much will you give me?" She said, "Okay, doctor, I'll give you half the money, 2.5 crores for you." Then doctor fell down, unconscious. He got another heart attack. You know? So, what do you understand? To the degree we identify with my body, with my wife, with my children, to that degree we go mad in this world. When the calamities come. The calamities in this world. Actually, for a devotee, the calamities in this world are welcome. Why? Prabhupada is giving the reason here. Calamities or dangers are very good if such dangers and calamities remind us of Krishna. Prabhupada is saying, you see, this is the advantage. How does a devotee receive dangers? There must be dangers, because this material world is full of dangers. But foolish people who do not know, they try to avoid the dangers. Thus they struggle for existence. Everyone is trying to become happy and avoid danger. This is our material business. Let me work very hard now and put the money in the bank, so that when I get old, I shall enjoy life without working. This is the inner intention of everyone. No one wants to work. And then Prabhupada is saying, but that's not possible. One cannot become happy in that way. So Kunti is speaking, Aapanar Bhava Darshanam. The real danger is the repetition of birth and death. That must be stopped. Like the Prabhupada is saying. So, Prabhupada is saying that when the danger comes in the life of a karmi, materialistic person, he doesn't know what to do. Is it not? He is just bewildered. Either, like sometimes boys, you know, they wash out, they get in all the papers, then they don't know how to face the parents, they commit suicide. When they are faced with such kind of failure in life, they don't know how to face the failure. There are other people in the, you know, who may be helplessly weeping, crying, mourning. Some people become depressed in this world. Like some here and there ones pass away, some people don't speak or weep for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They are deeply affected. And many people take them to doctor. This person has become dumb. He is not speaking, he is not weeping, because his mother passed away, father passed away. And then they are trying, "Hey, weep, weep." They beat him sometimes. You see that? "Hey, open it, bring it out. Don't keep it." Because they want to save him from depression. They are not. They are so depressed that they cannot weep also. Some people. The reason is very simple, because they are identifying too much with those bodies. So, Shastras say, who are these bodies? They are all like bubbles in an ocean. The ocean sometimes gets big bubbles, and they go together some distance, and then they are gone. You know, and then the mother dies, father dies, they go to another new family. Somebody is born in South, then they are born in North. Some born in North, they are born in America. They are born in different places. They are Jivatmas. So, Bhagavatam gives example, in a restaurant, sometimes 4 people sit in a table around. While sitting and eating, they talk to each other. "What's your name? Where are you studying? Which place you belong to?" and all that. They develop some friendship. After eating the food, they wash their hands and they 4 go to 4 different destinations. Is it not? Understand? Similarly, one soul is called mother, another soul father, another soul son, another soul daughter, another soul dog. The same family. You find they are living in a flat like this, you know, 5 people. And they develop attachment. People develop attachment to mother, father, dog, sister, brother. And then the family appears so cozy, so comfortable. "Oh, when will I go to home?" Some boys get homesickness, correct? When they come here, we develop a deep attachment for home. One becomes a Griha Vratanam. Griha Vratanam means, like sometimes a man makes his wife like the deity. Like a deity, you dress the deity, you know, he is happy putting nice sari ornaments and circumambulating his wife. She becomes the deity, and he develops deep attachment for her. And then when she dies, he is finished. He goes mad, practically. He cries like anything. Some people come to suicide also sometimes. when some very near dear one pass away. Actually, Prabhupada saying there is no calamity in this world because the soul is Satchidananda. He is completely aloof. But if you identify with any of them, then you will suffer. That is why, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? Atmajaya sutagara pashu dravina bandushu rajyo cha adikalo nityam virudam mamatam jaho. Mamatam means mamatvata, my mind. That mindness Parikshit Maharaj gave up. Virudham means very strong, deep attachments. He gave them up. What are attachments? Atma means to one's body. Jaya means wife. Atma Jaya Suta means children. Atma Jaya Suta Agara is all the kingly opulences. Pashu Dravina Bandushu, the animals like elephants and horses and chariots. Dravina Bandushu, the gold and silver and what do you call it, treasury. Bandushu means all relatives and friends. So once when Shyamalpur was speaking like this, one boy said, "Prabhuji, I am not attached to elephants, camels, horses, you are selling." Then Shyamalpur asked him, "Instead of this verse, you can say, one should give up one's laptop, one's jukebox, one's car, one's flat, one's suitcase, and one's post in the company where you are working as some, graduate engineering trainee, or if somebody is a doctor, one has to give up one's clinic." If somebody says that, then that boy got shocked. "How can one give up these things? We love them so much." He said, "That's what you are talking now," he said. So, the Vedic times, he said, "You have to give up your chariot." They said, "No, I don't mind giving up chariot." But he said, "Give up your central car." "How about that? You cannot give up." So, modern day chariot is central car. So, he gave up attachment to all these things. And then went to the banks of the Ganges and worshipped Krishna. Actually, Shastra say, if you want to be a grihastha, you can be a grihastha. Physically, you don't have to give up. But you should have a spirit of detachment in the heart. And then, why is the spirit of detachment required? When you are arriving at the point of death, at that time, our hearts have developed a deep attachment for Krishna. And that deep attachment cannot develop if we give all our energy and attention. Our attention should not get pinned down by absorption in matter. I'll ask you a simple question. You are going in a train, you want to see the scenic beauty of Lonavala, and all the, the mountains are, the clouds are kissing the mountain tops beautifully. And then you are seeing green, lush green forest. Such a beautiful sky. You want to see the beauty. But you have kept a laptop on the top of the berth. Can you see the forest beauty? Is it possible? Of course, if you have seen the beauty, the laptop will be gone. Somebody will steal it. But if you have got luggage in the top, you have one eye there and one eye in the outside the window. Again, at some time you are seeing there and then you are seeing. So, I am just telling you one example. If I have one attachment, that distracts me from Krishna, focusing on Krishna fully. Now we have how many attachments? We have plenty. We have mother, father, wife, children, family, friends, job, post, position. So all these attachments pin us down. That is why it is not wrong to possess them, but it is wrong to develop attachment for them. But we have to see them as Krishna's property. Krishna has given me so that I can use them in Krishna's service. So Prabhupada is saying, calamity means what? When any of those things are taken away, we will cry. We are going to be miserable. That means the amount of calamities increase for a materialist. You understand, Why? Because a materialist has too many attachments to too many things. So naturally, a materialist cannot consider anything valuable beyond this world of matter. The world of matter is the only thing that exists for him. So, how much death will be painful, you see, for him? One boy got a cancer in a finger. Doctor said, "You have to amputate the finger." He said, "Nothing doing. If I go without one finger to office, people will ask, what happened, they will ask, how ugly I will look." Then he went to another doctor. By the time all the other fingers, the cancer spread. And another doctor said, "You have to cut up to this. You have to amputate." Oh, I will go to office like this, you know, showing this hand. No, 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 doctor. I will go to America and find out some latest state-of-art technology for curing my hands. And America, he tried, and American said, better go back to India. Probably some Ayurvedic jerry booty may help you. You know, this is spreading very fast. We cannot help you, they said. Then he came back. By the time it started spreading here, doctor said, you have to cut up to this. And there they said, hey, doctor, how will I walk on the road without one hand? People will laugh at me, you know, please can't you cure it? And then the original doctor told him, see, if you don't cure it now, it will start spreading in the body. Huh? You have to leave your body, he said. You understand, no? So, people are unwilling to give up one finger, but at the time of death, what they have to give up? Their whole body. Huh? And not only body, everything connected to the body, like mother, father, wife, children, family, friends, possessions, everything they have to give up. Very painful, no? That is why it is equivalent to how many scorpions? Some 40,000 scorpions not biting in installments, but biting simultaneously. Can you imagine? But for a devotee, don't worry, 40,000 scorpions will not come to you. Because if you are not attached to the perishable commodities of the world, then where is the pain? Dukkume sumira nasadukare sukume kare nakoi sukume sumira na jokare dukke kaye kohoi. He says, no? If you know, in misery people remember God, but in happiness of people remember God, and where is suffering, he is asking. So a devotee remembers Krishna in all circumstances, in happiness and distress. But being a very advanced devotee, she is saying that devotees also sometimes are able to remember Krishna in dukkha more, in suffering more. One time, our Bombay Chaupati brahmacharis, some 20-22 brahmacharis, they had got the Sankirtan bus. So the bus was going from Nigdi, you know, they came for some festival. And then when they were going back, it was going in the ghats, but suddenly the brake of the bus broke down. It got disconnected from the wheels. Finished. Now you put a brake, it cannot stop. And the bus was going at a very high speed. And the driver suddenly realized. So one devotee was telling the driver, hey, why are you driving so fast? You know, please, you know, reduce the speed, he said. And the driver couldn't reduce the speed, he was waving the hand like this. And the devotee went near him. He said, sorry, Prabhuji, you know, brake katam ho gaya. Brake kaam nahi kar raha. And it was going so fast, can you imagine? In the ghats. It was going in the ghats. And of course, there was a plain road for some distance. And the driver said, now brake is gone and there is no control I have. The only control I have is the steering. Because you can turn it right or left. But going, you know, but the vehicle cannot be stopped because brake is gone, he said. And all the devotees going for selling this. They were all plugging their ears and loudly chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Closing their eyes, closing their ears. What they anticipated was that the bus will go fast, you know. It may hit another bus because there were also other buses going ahead. And this bus was going so fast, it was overtaking all of them. Actually, that is the way it was going. So they thought that maybe we will lose control and it will topple and fall off the ghats and go down the valley. And that will be our, you know, end of our life. And, you know, probably they may then recover the dead bodies and have some special program for those who are dead and everything. Devotees thought we are finished now. The way it appeared, it was appearing like that. They were shouting. And then what the driver did, very intelligent driver. So when the bus was going, there were 2-3 vehicles going in the front. And he couldn't tell them. How can he tell them that I don't have a brake? And if you go and hit them, they will come for a quarrel. But there is no way. Somehow or other he was overtaking vehicles like this and going. And they were all wondering why this fellow is going like this. At last, this driver found some, you know, in the side there were some aluminium, what is that? Vertical things were kept. Not aluminium one. Some of them were reinforced bars, cement thing. Vertical things kept in the side. So he took the, what do you call it? Dividers, I think, a divider kind of thing. So he purposefully drove the bus to hit those dividers with a wheel. tuck, 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 it hit several dividers and the bus stopped after that. At last bus came to a halt. So, devotees were telling, our life came back. We thought we had lost our life. When you go to Badrinath also, you'll have this experience. When the bus is going, people will close their eyes and pray to Lord. Because, you know, it is such a great height in the mountain top, snow-capped mountains. Sometimes the bus, if the wheel, there is only this much distance between the wheel and the end. If the bus is little away, the whole thing will topple. Many buses get accidents also. So, Dwarja was saying, the way we chanted Hare Krishna, it must be surely offenseless chanting. They said, when the life comes to a, you know, end, they're telling, yeah, in calamities we can remember very intensely. Yeah, you remember I was telling you, once I was trapped in a lift in Bombay, and we had to go for 21st floor. So, you see, in such situations, you have no way. Imagine, sometimes you read in the newspaper, a boy was, trapped in a school bathroom, on the last day of the year, and there was 2 months leave. So the boy went to pass urine, and then the watchman very quickly closed all the doors and everything, bathroom also, he latched it outside. And then the boy was shouting, can you imagine? And 2 months, how can he remain inside? Naturally, practically he dies, he tries to eat his own flesh and all that. After a few days, he perishes. So, when you are trapped in such a situation, there is no other way other than taking shelter of Krishna. So, you all heard about Aindra Prabhu's passing away, correct? Aindra Prabhu, in one sense, he was trapped. How? Because his room was insulated room. And the gas cylinder was leaking, and then gas spread all over the room. And then at 12 o'clock or 12:30, he just took a matchbox, tuck, he sparked it. Immediately the whole gas caught fire, the whole room. Then immediately he went to the one extreme end of the room. See, the door is there. And he is standing here, in this end. And he has to go from here to that door, he has to go through fire. Because the whole room is on fire. Is it possible? If you go through fire, you will have 100% burn in your body and you will be finished. And if you don't go there, the fire is slowly coming near you. It's coming. Already half the room is burning and the rest of the room is also going to be burnt. So what is the third possibility? You can shout loud and ask for help. So he shouted loud and the whole room was insulated and it's a soundproof room also. And he had made that because he wanted to avoid all noises from outside. So some devotees were there, who heard somebody yelling, but they didn't know where the sound is coming from. Slightly they heard the sound. They didn't hear. So he was in one corner, and then now he understood, now death has come for me. I cannot escape now. I am trapped now. So what can I do? He offered obeisances in front of Gaur Nithai. Surely he must have been singing the holy names of the Lord. And gradually the fire engulfed the whole room. And then the devotees, by the time they opened the door, he had already left the body. So, of course, some devotees got extremely disturbed and devotees cried, how can Krishna do this to his wonderful devotee and all that. I also asked some senior devotees like Govind Prabhu and Shaman Prabhu and many others, and one Maharaja and all of them. So they said many answers, which were very convincing to me personally. One answer they gave was, who has done what karma, you can't say. In what life? If somebody has aborted a child in the previous life by trapping the child in the womb, in another lifetime, they may also be trapped also, like in tsunami we saw, how many people died like that. Sometimes a devotee may be a wonderful devotee, but a devotee may be carrying a Mahapataka sin on his bank account, which is committed in the past. So now we may say, but we say that Krishna, burns away the karma of his devotees. Is it not true? Karma of the devotee is burnt on. Karmani nirdahati, we say. So if karma of the devotee is burnt, then why should the devotee suffer the effects of his Mahapataka karma? If he has done, see somebody, even all of us, we don't know what we did in the last life. Anybody remembers? So it's likely that some big and bad account is waiting on our account and we may be punished or something, then all devotees may become fearful. That means even after becoming Krishna's devotee, is the karmic account not closed? Still one has to suffer? So, Govind Prabhu was telling that if somebody is a big devotee in ISKCON, but is heading towards a fall down, say he is going to fall down with a woman or something, that's a possibility. So there are two choices. One choice is he has a Mahapataka account by which, you know, his body may be destroyed in this life, by which the impure planning that may be going on in the devotee's mind also is completely purified by Krishna remembrance, and his body is taken away. And then, of course, the next life, he again gets the body of a devotee, and he continues devotion service. Or, the alternative chance is, the devotee is allowed to proceed in the same direction, and his contemplation takes him to a lower and lower and lower state of consciousness, until he ends up falling down with a woman or something like that. So, if any of you think for a moment, would you like to be trapped in a fire and be burned and you have to leave the body? Would you prefer that? Or you would prefer, you know, doing some wrong thing in life and, you know, getting a blemish, falling down? Which one do you prefer? First option, right? Yeah. Isn't it? So, devotee, Krishna knows what is best for a devotee. If a devotee is a very wonderful devotee, if he is going in the wrong direction, Krishna may give a slap to the devotee. And the degree of the slap will depend on the intensity of his wrongdoing. If a person is going contemplating on a very, very wrongdoing, one may be going down, Krishna may save the devotee. So he was giving this one example. There was a Ramaranjan Das who got initiation, and after 1 week he passed away in a car accident. So many devotees are very morose and all, now how can it happen, you know, he is such a wonderful man. And all. And Prabhupada gave 5 reasons why this happened to him. Prabhupada said his wife is a non-devotee and she was torturing him like anything. She was not allowing him to even chant at home. He had to always a married man with children. He has to go outside the house to chant. She won't allow him to keep an altar. She won't allow him to chant. She was very much torturing him. And she told his friends that I don't want my husband to be Hare Krishna. She wanted him to be a Buddhist or something. So his friends were actually making a plan to, you know, kidnap him and take him some thousands of miles away and set up a business for him. Away like that. They were planning. So friends were against, his wife was against, and he was in a job which was paying him very less money. And he was hardly surviving hand to mouth in that job. So it was taking almost 14 hours a day and Krishna consciousness was becoming very difficult for him. And he was getting more and more weakened. So Prabhupada said, 4 or 5 reasons he gave. He said, these situations were not favorable for his devotion service. So Krishna took him away. And Krishna put him in another situation. Now he will be born as a new baby in some devotee's house. And he will be very peacefully, you know, chanting and dancing there. Is it not true? So why Krishna does what he does only Krishna knows. It is beyond us. Another 5 minutes I will conclude. Then I have to go back to temple. So, that's what Kuntimanani is telling. Kuntimanani is telling that, you know, see Prabhupada is saying here, both dangers and festivals are but different demonstrations of Krishna, who is absolute. It is said that religion and irreligion, which are complete opposites, are merely the front portion and back portion of God. But is there any difference between God's front and God's back? God is absolute. And therefore a devotee, either in opulence or in danger, is undisturbed, knowing that both of these are Krishna. When a devotee is in danger, he thinks, now Krishna has appeared before me as danger. Like Prabhupada thought about that bomb which was dropped in Calcutta. You know, Prabhupada was making kachoris, isn't it? Prabhupada said, this is Krishna in the form of a bomb. In his form of Narasimhadeva, Lord was dangerous to the demon Hiranyakashipu. But the same Narasimhadeva was the supreme friend to devotee Prahalad. God is never dangerous to the devotee. And the devotee is never afraid of dangers because he is confident that the danger is but another feature of God, you see. The devotee is never afraid of dangers at all, like our Sridhar Maharaj. You know, he had some hepatitis or something, big leg, huge, leg became very big and stomach was bloating so big. And the doctor said that his life has come to an end and he came to Mayapur. When he came to Mayapur, as soon as he landed in Mayapur, he told the devotees, "Now I am safe now. I have no more worry," he said. And then the doctor came to see him, to console him. And he saw the doctor and said, "So doctor, what is there? I have a girl child or a baby boy here." He was joking like that, showing his stomach. His stomach was bloating. And he was joking with devotees, talking with devotees, absolutely fearless. He said, many devotees came to console him. He said, "Why are you trying to console me? What is there for me to fear? I am in the dham of Panchatattva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is protecting me here." And he was ecstatic. Remembering Krishna and discussing pastimes, happily left his body. So devotees called him as a Jolly Swami. So his name is Jolly Swami. So he was very jolly, leaving his body. So this is the meaning of a devotee. Devotee is never afraid of dangers at all, he says. And God is never dangerous to devotee. Why? You know that example of, you know, the mouth of a cat is very fearsome for a rat. But now mouth of a cat is not fearsome for a kitten. I have personally seen how a cat catches a kitten in the neck. It appears as if it's going to eat it. The flesh of the kitten's neck, he catches it from behind, like that, with the teeth, and it lifts it and then puts it in another place. Whereas when it catches a rat gets torn in the mouth of a cat. It tears it and eats it up. So a devotee's death and a demon's death is not the same. Although the devotee also undergoes death, but the devotee is taken to another destination with great love by Krishna. Because Kunti knows how to remember Krishna at the times of danger, she is welcoming danger. When Prahlad Maharaj's father was putting him into dangerous predicaments, Prahlad was always thinking of Krishna. So if we are put into a dangerous position, that danger gives us an impetus to remember Krishna. That is welcome. Why is danger welcome? Because it is acting as an impetus to remember Krishna, he is saying. So Prahlad Maharaj never became angry or even fearful or even upset with his father. And Prahlad Maharaj never became depressed. Not even complaining about his father. Amazing, no? And he was very happy. Why? Because those dangers were constantly helping him to remember Krishna. And then Prabhupada, the last part, he is saying, suppose I am very comfortable at the present moment. My body may be comfortable, but there will be death. And then another birth. After giving up my present body, if I get the body of a cat or a dog, what is the meaning of my comfortable position? Death is sure. And after death, one must surely accept another body. Jata sahi dhruva mrityam. So Prabhupada is saying, although I may be in a comfortable position, if I keep myself in the mentality of a dog, I shall get my next life as a dog. Therefore, what is the value of this comfortable position? I may be in a comfortable position for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, or at the most 100 years. Yet when I give up this body, my mentality causes me to become a cat, a dog, or a mouse. What is the benefit of this comfortable position? Very important question. If any of your friends tell you, "I am happy," you should tell them this answer. Oh, you are happy? How long will you be happy? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? At the most? 100 years. After that what? Your mentality will take you to the next body, which is likely to be a cat or a dog, he is saying. That is why there is no use of a comfortable position in this world. But when one becomes Krishna's devotee, then one is saved. And then Prabhupada is saying, one's consciousness should be absorbed in Krishna thought. Therefore, the Guru gives different varieties of engagements to the devotees in Krishna consciousness. For example, under the direction of the Guru, the devotees may sell books in Krishna consciousness. But if the devotees think that the energy invested in selling books should be diverted into selling jewelry. That is not a very good idea. Then they would become nothing more than jewelers. We should be very much careful not to be diverted from Krishna consciousness. You understand, no? So some people ask Prabhupada, if we sell books, we will only get little money. But if we sell jewelry, we can make more money. And Prabhupada said, next life you'll become a jeweler. So Prabhupada said, selling books means you can speak about Krishna. So always there is a tendency in our gift shops to increase the other items more than the books. Because people also ask, like somebody is asking, can we get peanut butter? So they were asking me, can we keep peanut butter in our bookstall? You know, they were asking. I said, why are you increasing these kind of items? Because people will become bodily conscious when we sell these things. But you sell books, then they can remember Krishna more. So there is a tendency in the people to always go away from Krishna. There is a tendency always. So in our life also, like sometimes you think, you know, if I work hard, if I earn some money, you know, then I can relax in an easy chair later on. First I will earn money, then I can relax. But in the course of earning money, we will go away from Krishna, as he's saying here. One last thing, Prabhupada was saying. For example, one may have been destined to be killed, but instead of being killed with a knife, he may be instead getting some little cut on his finger. For those who engage in devotional service, the reactions of the past activities are minimized. That's called as a token punishment. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami. So even if a devotee has a history of a very grievous criminal activities behind him, instead of being killed, he may only get a little cut on his finger. Why then should a devotee fear danger? That means, it's a devotee generally, Krishna minimizes, even many of us get small punishments. Like the other day in Juhu, I got this hurt here. You saw? You know, when I was coming out of the temple, because Juhu is full of so many visitors, I just came running and they put bamboos for the Janmashtami, you know. They're making me talk. I got hit and the whole glass broke into small particles. Fortunately, nothing went inside my eyes. I washed off the eyes and everything and we repaired it. But I told myself, you know, when Krishna is upset with us, he will punish us in some way. Maybe the previous day I scolded one devotee. I thought, now Krishna is scolding me back. See, we have to take all Krishna's punishments very personally. Generally we can reform. Of course I thought maybe some very big calamity was about to befall on me. But Krishna just gave a token punishment. It was a small punishment. That day I was not having specs for my lecture, morning and evening. Everyone asked, where specs, they were asking. But the night it came back. Small punishment Krishna gives. So Krishna may not give the full, some devotee gets a fracture. Instead of accident and death, devotee may, you all know in Atmanivedan Yoga one boy, Sudama, what is his name?
Subhahusaka.
He was lying on the road and a lady was driving car. She hit him and practically car went over him, up to this chest. The car, when she put the brake, she thought he is dead. But the fellow survived. Shudrindipo also faced an accident, So Krishna many times gives one a token punishment, for what I'm saying. And then he says, if we think of Krishna, see Krishna, read of Krishna, work for Krishna, and somehow or other remain in Krishna consciousness, we benefit. We are saved from birth and death. But if we become a little comfortable because of other materialistic engagements, and we forget Krishna, and have to take birth again, then what is our benefit? We should be very careful about this. We should act in such a way that our Krishna consciousness can, under no circumstances, be disturbed. Even if there is heavy suffering, that is the instruction of Kunti Devi. Because I become a devotee, there will be no danger or suffering. Don't think like that, proper saying. Even Prahlad Maharaj suffered, Pandava suffered, Haridas Thakur suffered. We must have firm faith that Krishna is present and he will give me protection. That type of faith we should have. And Krishna has declared there. Kaunteya pratijani hi nahi bhakta pranashyati. A devotee knows that whatever Krishna does for me is good for me. whether he wants to give me death or he wants to give me punishment, he wants to give me token punishment. Actually, Krishna wipes out the karmic reaction, but sometimes he keeps it reserved so that he can use some of our karmic reactions to purify us, to beat us and purify us sometimes. But if we become surrendered devotees, we can just become purified very fast. So Kunti Mahani is a very great soul. She is telling, Vipadas Santu Tashashwad. Let all those calamities come again and again upon me. Why? Krishna, now that my sons have become kings of the whole world, now you are boarding your chariot and you are returning to Dwaraka. You want to go back. I think, you know, because we are in so much trouble, in order to protect us, you are with us. Now we are having no suffering now, so we are going away. So better you give us suffering and be with us to sort them out than to take away suffering and we have to go away. This also has indirectly another meaning. You know, when we are intoxicated in success and we are very proud, then we cannot feelingly call out Krishna's names. It's not possible. And that is why it is not a bad idea even to have failure if that failure reminds us of Krishna. Because the devotee's goal is not success or failure. The devotee's goal is to remain Krishna conscious. That is Kunti Maharani's wonderful verse. अंतराक्षिमत भागवतम की श्री रघुपाद की और भक्त वृंद की थैंक यू वेरी मच